Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Oh, Terry, I appreciate that. That's pretty awesome, buddy. Thank you.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to tell people how old you are. I know, but I'm not going to tell them. But you have the enthusiasm of a 16-year-old. Did you have the savvy of a 70-year-old? So that's all I'm going to say.
I appreciate that. I never thought the day would come, Terry. You know, when my father hit this milestone of age, I was like, man, you know, it's an old age, and I never thought I'd be there. But time flies in this world, that's for sure. And we're there.
I don't want to hear from you that your current age is old. I've got belly button lint that's older than that.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
What's going on in the outdoor world?
I'll tell you, Terry, everything's happening. You know, I'm actually kind of back in the motherland right now, chasing some whitetail. You know, spending my birthday chasing a whitetail. But so much is happening, Terry. And honestly, the temperatures are colder than I would say a lot of us are used to. We talked about this last year, and we seem to talk about it more and more, but just like everything in life, everybody kind of wants things to happen fast. You know, a typical ice season for us in the mountains, we always talked about starting in mid-December. You know, back in the day, if we were on, you know, the bigger bodies of mountain water in mid-December, that was early ice. You know, and then we get a couple of real cold years, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, yeah, early ice. But honestly, Terry, that cold front that hit us, you know, roughly 10 days ago, it has held strong. And luckily, you know, for everybody that's excited about early ice, those colder temps met calm conditions. And that's really all it takes for early ice is we need cold, but so often in Colorado when we get cold, we get thermals and we get wind, and the wind prevents the lakes from freezing. We mix this really massive cold front that kind of came into the state with very calm conditions. It locked up, and all it takes is one or two nights of, you know, cold conditions for these lakes to lock up and stay locked. So we went from, you know, kind of flirting with ice fishing, you know, it was high country, it wasn't quite here, to full-blown ice season. So Antero is capped 100%. I don't want to encourage everybody to just rush up there. You know, these early conditions can change so fast, but the lake is capped. You know, depending on where you're at, you're anywhere from 2 inches of ice to 5 inches of ice. You know, so we always say, like, the boat docks, the areas that don't have heavy wind. You know, so there's certain areas of the lake that have more ice than others. As always, this is that time of year where you have to carry a spud bar. You have to be prepared. You could be fishing on 5 inches of ice in the morning, and by the afternoon you step off the ice, you could be on minimal ice or unsafe ice. So we're cautious there. But same thing, Terriel has ice, a great early ice opportunity, 100% frozen there. You know, again, we're seeing ice conditions from, you know, non-walkable upwards of 6 inches in certain areas. We're starting to see some capping at 11 mile. So depending on the wind, the body of water, the mountains are seeing ice and does have fishable ice. As always, use extreme caution. But I would say that's probably the biggest thing. We are basically just wrapped up our third season of hunting. We're approaching the fourth season of hunting. But between the big game hunting, wrapping up walleye fishing in the Front Range, and probably the most exciting portion of the season of getting ice in the high country, there is lots to do here in Colorado.
I want to circle back a little bit to the safety part of what you said. You and I know, both know that early ice can be some of the best fishing because the fish virtually go unmolested for a couple of weeks because you can't get out in the open water, and then there's not walkable ice yet. But when that opens up, some of the best fishing. But, folks, what he said about a spud bar, I can't tell you how important that tool is. A lot of times on early ice, I don't even take an auger. I just take a spud bar. But there is no other really good, reliable way to check ice unless you drill holes as you go. And even that won't work as well as a spud bar. If you go to the Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom on YouTube and go to the North Michigan Reservoir Show, I take you through how to use a spud bar and how to look visually at the ice. That is so important. Also on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Facebook, we did put up recommendations of clear ice saying this many inches of ice will typically hold this. That is just a recommendation you have to check, as you well know, Nate.
Absolutely, Terry. And so much can happen on this early ice. You know, you might have plenty of ice to stand on, you know, where you're looking for that 4 or 5 inches of good hard ice to be good for your weight. But on that thinner ice, you know, you get one big expansion crack to where...
Did we lose Nate?
During the day. Can
okay.
you hear me there?
Nate, go ahead. Repeat that, Nate. For somebody's
no
new
problem. No problem. So, you know, on this early ice, these frigid temperatures, we're building ice so fast that during the day, it'll expand. It basically has to move, shift, crack to make room for more ice as it builds. And, you know, you get one expansion crack and you can get weak spots. Again, currents this time of year to where we still have a lot of current flow coming in, that can cause, you know, ice conditions to change. So much changes on this early ice. I'd say more so than ever, you know, even though you might have walked on it an hour, 2, 3 hours prior, you're checking it going out, you're checking it coming back. You know, we use the Jiffy Scout, which is a device actually used to measure the ice and the thickness, but even that, you're drilling a hole. So a spud bar, if you strike on every step that you take when walking on the ice, it's ensuring that you know where your next step is going to fall. You know the conditions of the ice on that next step. So early ice, it's all about safety. Now, once you get on the ice, once you're using that spud bar, you feel confident. I love to walk everybody through kind of the few tips, especially in the mountain lakes. You know, we're doing so much fishing for rainbows, cutbows, browns at this early ice stage. You know, the trout fishing is probably the most predominant early ice species that we target. So, you know, let's just say you do get up there to Antero or, you know, Lake John or any of these fisheries that freeze early. My handful of tips to having the most success. Number one, if you want the biggest fish possible, you are looking shallow. So when I want big fish, I am staying in 5 foot of water or less. So big fish across the board, shallow water, 5 foot or less. My tip number two, have an active presentation. So often in that shallow water, if you use a dead stick, whether you're using a jaw jack or a bobber, a spring bobber, it doesn't matter. If you have a still presentation, that shallow water, oftentimes those fish are cruising fast and they can overlook your presentation because it's sitting still. So being very active, even if you're using a tube jig, a spoon, doesn't matter. I want to really actively work these shallow water presentations because in that shallow water, in a lot of light, those baits are going to stand out. Those fish are hunting and you'll draw those fish in. So step two, you know, have a very active presentation. The third thing that we kind of think about in that shallow water, oftentimes we'll still have late spawning browns. We'll have kokanee up in that shallow water spawning. There are still small remnants of some spawn things happening in shallow water, especially in like boat dock bays. You know, Antero's known for that. 11 Mile's known for that. In these areas where you might have late spawning kokanee, late spawning browns, you get massive rainbows and cutbows moving into those spawn sites to feed on the eggs. So those are areas that will draw massive fish in early ice situations. So we love looking at that. And then kind of the fourth thing, the only time I really go to that deeper water is if I want numbers. So if you were to come on a guide trip with us in early ice, you know, we ask you, hey, do you want big fish or you want numbers? You want numbers? I'm going to go sit on that weed line in 8, 10, 12 feet of water. I'm going to sit on a wall in 8, 10, 12 feet of water where those numbers of fish are constantly cruising by, where you're going to catch a lot of fish. Not to say you won't still catch some big fish, but you're going to catch more fish than you do anything. But when you go to that shallow water where those big giants are hunting, that's how you're going to find those bigger fish. If you're out there and you're catching little fish, think about that shallow water. If you go in shallow, catch some big fish, you want to top the day off with some numbers, deeper water. But those are the tips that are going to, you know, hands down, catch you more and greater fish in early ice conditions than anything else.
You know, it's almost like you read some of the stuff I wrote. But that's exactly right. I mean, the biggest mistake, even on the numbers of fish, the biggest mistake early trout fishermen do is fish too deep. Even a lot of them are 15, 20 feet deep. Not that there can't be fish out there, but they're not typically where they're at. Even the numbers fish on some lakes are pretty shallow, and it's always easier and more accessible to start shallow and work deep. So being too deep is obviously worse than being too shallow, especially to start. And the active presentation, a lot of times I'm checking holes just using a small Swedish pimple or a Castmaster type spoon and just trying to see if I can even draw something in, because a lot of times you're so shallow you can't see anything on your electronics. Sometimes you just visually will see it, and that tells me if there's fish in the area. You just really nailed it, Nate.
I appreciate that, Terry. It's the truth. And honestly, you know, we talk about shallow water being like that 5-6 feet of water. People get there and they start to panic. There's times we're fishing, Terry, in 2 to 3 feet of water. So more so than anything, just get in your head that there really is no such thing as too shallow, especially in this early ice. So keep that in mind. And last thing out there, I got to, you know, give a shout out to the hunters. Number one, on the elk side, I was so fortunate last weekend to harvest an absolutely incredible big Colorado public land bull. But on the elk side, the things to think about, migration is here. We have got snow. We have got cold. So we're seeing our cows and our immature bulls dropping down to lower elevations. We're seeing those big bulls be exclusively independent. So they are alone, kind of tucked away. So on the elk side, depending on what your goals are, you're looking for those big groups in lower country or those very individualized animals or bachelor group of animals in more remote areas. On the deer side, we are in full area. Find does. And it's not one of those things that you check a doe today and then come back tomorrow. You can stay with does all day. These bucks are not bedding down. The does might, the bucks are not. They are cruising all day looking for active breedable does. So on the mule deer side, stay out all day. Find does. Stay with the does. Keep checking the does because those big bucks are in the area. And there's some absolutely incredible hunting coming up on our fourth rifle tag starting this Wednesday.
All right, my friend, we have just a minute or two left. First of all, I want you to tell me if you were going open water fishing one spot, if you were going ice fishing one spot, and then how do I take part in ice addiction?
Absolutely, Terry. So much going on. But with that being said, open water, I'd spend the last remaining week or so at Chatfield Reservoir. We're getting big fish at Cherry Creek, but the shad numbers at Chatfield are so much more conducive to the angler out there. So if you're walleye fishing, go jump on Chatfield. Low light periods of the day, we're throwing jerk baits, high noon type stuff. We're throwing all the reaction baits, jigging wraps, spoons, blade baits, ice fishing. I would hands down go to Antero. I'd probably live on the south side of the reservoir in extremely shallow water. That's going to be the biggest tricks there. And ice addiction, we are open now for ticket sales. They went on sale this week. So you can just go to tightlineoutdoors.com. You can go to our Facebook page. You can go to Fishing Chaos, but search Tightline Outdoors, get to one of our sites, find that ticket site, and grab your tickets now. Remember that the people that are buying tickets now are going to be the first ones on the ice this coming winter. Each event's going to have over $26,000 in cash and prizes, first place being $7,500 cash at every event. So make sure you get those tickets now. I know we have Black Friday coming up here soon. A ticket to Ice Addiction makes a great Christmas gift for anybody out there that's an outdoorsman.
All right, my friend, as always, great information, and we look forward to, I guess we won't talk to you for a couple weeks because we have a short show next week because of football, but you get out there and have some fun and enjoy your birthday and Thanksgiving.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much. You as well.
All right, Nate Zielinski, always a great resource, always good to have on. I want to circle back again to the safety part before we go. Safety this time, we say over and over again that early ice can be some of the best fishing and late ice. And there's reasons, there's transitions going on. And because there's transitions, safety is paramount. Ice fishing, we say there's no such thing as safe ice. But ice fishing can be one of the safest winter activities. In fact, we get very few tragedies in ice fishing. We get a lot more in skiing and avalanche people that are just out in the outdoors. But common sense makes it very safe. I can't emphasize the spud bar thing enough. And that's a good heavy spud bar chisel, a full length one, not some little one. Every ice fishing outlet in the area carries them. In fact, we're going to talk to Jax in a minute. I'm sure they have them. And that spud bar, and go to the Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, and go to the North Michigan show. And it talks, really a great tutor on electronics, but it talks about using that spud bar. Go to my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. We have a chart that's put out by DNR government agencies throughout the country, and what they recommend, how much ice it takes to support different activities. Now, that's a guideline, and that's clear good ice, so you still have to use common sense. But really, make sure you understand ice and ice fishing when you go out. We're going to take a time out. When we come back, we're going to join the folks at Jack's Outdoor Gear in Loveland, and one of the new, it's not the newest store, but it has certainly become the most unique store in the Jack's chain of stores. All that and more on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.